This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
It's been an amazing decade to work in human origins and in ancient DNA. The last 10, 15 years have seen technologies come onto the market that have made it possible to recover DNA from ancient humans, and not only DNA, but also proteins more recently. And these molecular data are providing us with really extraordinary new clues about how our ancestors, our very early ancestors, first spread across the globe. And also about these ancestors themselves. And so today what I'm going to do is try and summarize some of what we've learned about early human dispersals. And I'm going to focus in particularly on what we've learned about the peopling of Asia from a new Denisovan genome. And you may know, I'm going to start out by just saying you may know about Denisovans. Denisovans are cousins of Neanderthals that were discovered quite recently also in our institute by Svante and Johannes and others. And we've recently sequenced a new Denisovan genome, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So it's generally accepted that modern humans originate in Africa, and the timing of the routes of migration of modern humans into different parts of the world remains somewhat debated. It's a topic of much discussion over many decades by now. Fossil and archaeological evidence indicate that there were multiple dispersals out of Africa. You see here the two main proposed dispersals, an earlier one between 120,000 years ago and 70,000 years ago, and a later one around 50,000 years ago. In contrast, genetic data suggests that the majority of the ancestry in people living today descend primarily from a single rapid dispersal of people out of Africa after 50,000 years ago. So in the time period that's relevant, in the time period overlapping these proposed dispersals, we know from fossil and genetic data that there were at least two forms of archaic humans present in Eurasia at the same time. There were the Neanderthals, who we know from the fossil record were present in Europe and Western Asia from around 400,000 years ago until around 40,000 years ago when they disappeared. And then more recently discovered their cousins, the Denisovans, who seem to have been widespread in Asia at the same time. And we have genome sequences for both Neanderthals and Denisovans. And we've used these genomes to learn more about these two forms of archaic humans that I won't have time to talk about today. Deendo will talk about that. But we've also used them to learn more about our own history. One of the most interesting things we learned from the first Neanderthal genome, I would say, is that all people living outside Africa today, no matter where they live, whether in Europe or in Asia, in the Americas, in Oceania, they all carry Neanderthal DNA. And they all carry around the same amount of Neanderthal DNA. About 2% of the genomes of everyone outside of Africa is derived from an interbreeding with Neanderthals. And what's quite interesting is that there's a more subtle point to this. It's not only that everyone carries Neanderthal DNA, it's that if we look at the segments of Neanderthal DNA in the genomes of people living today, those segments are quite homogeneous. They're all closely related to the same sequence Neanderthal that we have, the Neanderthal from Croatia, the Vindhya Neanderthal. And this suggests that everyone inherited them from the same Neanderthal source. So it's also been possible to determine when that happened, when this Neanderthal DNA was inherited. And we can do that by looking at the length of the segments of Neanderthal DNA in people's genomes, the genomes of people living today. And that can be done because there's this process called recombination. So in the first generation where you have, say, your mother is a Neanderthal and your father is a modern human, you get an entire chromosome from your mother and set of chromosomes from your father. But then over time, in each generation, those chromosomes are shuffled so that with time, and as you can see here, the segments of Neanderthal DNA get shorter and shorter in the genomes of the people who carry them. And the lengths of those pieces of DNA are then informative about when that integration happened, when that admixture happened. And so using the lengths of the segments of DNA in present-day people, the initial estimate that was made was that this integration took place somewhere between 47 and 65,000 years ago. This has been recently refined in two studies led by Leonardo Iasi and Arev Suma, working on two different projects, who used the genomes not of present-day people, not of people living today, but of ancient people, people who lived in the past, closer in time to when the integration happened. So going back to the figure on the left, if they live closer in time, they have longer fragments of this DNA. That makes it easier to estimate the length, and that makes it possible to get a more precise estimate of the introgression time. And in doing that, they were able to estimate that this introgression likely happened more precisely between 45 and 50,000 years ago, and that it was likely that it happened in a rather extended pulse that might have persisted over a period of a few thousand years even. They also showed, and what you see here is a tree of some of the very earliest modern humans from whom we have genome sequences, they also showed that all these modern humans, these earliest modern humans, carry Neanderthal DNA. And that suggests that they carry Neanderthal DNA from this very first Neanderthal introgression, which you see here. And that suggests that even these very earliest humans, some of whom didn't contribute much to people living today, must have participated in the same Out of Africa event and met the same Neanderthals. What happened after that? Once you have Out of Africa, we think people move into probably the Near East. They interact with Neanderthals. We now think that this happened in a single pulse into a single population. What happened after that remains unresolved and highly debated. How did people move on from here? One way to look at that is to study interactions with the modern humans, or with the archaic humans, sorry, who were present in Asia at this time. And as I mentioned, one of those groups are the Denisovans, who we think were widespread in Asia. So the fossil record of Denisovans, this is the fossil record of Denisovans. This is everything we know about them from the fossil record. The fossil record is quite limited. You can see in the top, we have 8 specimens from Denisova Cave, which is in the Altai Mountains in Russia. We also know from other data that the Denisovans were present in other sites in the Altai. We have this mandible from Baishir Karst Cave, which is on the Tibetan Plateau at high altitude, 2,300 meters, and evidence of Denisovans over a long period of time at Baishir, starting from around 160,000 years ago. Then more recently, protein evidence has demonstrated that a mandible found in the Taiwan Strait, this Penghu 1 mandible, is also likely from a Denisovan, stretching the distribution of Denisovans into coastal Asia. And most recently, and most excitingly, I have to say for me, this Harbin skull gives us our first view of the morphology of a Denisovan cranium. And this Harbin skull, a very beautiful paper published just a few months ago by Charmé's Fuse group, showing that this Harbin skull is also likely a Denisovan from a very small amount of DNA and proteins that they managed to get from this individual. In addition, based on their age and their morphology and geographic location, a number of additional fossil remains that have been earlier found have now been proposed to potentially be Denisovans or Denisovan relatives. And these include multiple remains from East Asia and from Southeast Asia, as well as from South Asia. And what this is telling us is that Denisovans were likely very widespread in Asia, living in very different environments and probably adapted to those environments. So we're probably looking at a population that has quite some genetic diversity. However, everything that we currently know about Denisovan genetically comes from this one finger bone, the Denisova 3 genome that was sequenced already more than 10 years ago. And this Denisovan is 60,000 years old. It's from the Altai Mountains in Russia, in what we might think of as quite far in the northern part of the distribution of Denisovans. But already with this genome, we were able to look at whether there had been admixture also with Denisovans, like there was with Neanderthals. And we were able to show that there is indeed Denisovan DNA in some people living today. The people living today who carry the most Denisovan DNA, you can see them here in red, beyond the Wallace's line, people in Papua New Guinea, Australia, and the Philippines. They carry as much as 4% Denisovan DNA in addition to their Neanderthal DNA. And the segments of Denisovan DNA in different populations indicate a much more complex series of mixtures with Denisovans than is the case with Neanderthals. The segments, if we look at the segments of Denisovan DNA in these populations, we see that they differ in their similarity to the Denisova 3 genome we have, suggesting that there was genetic contribution from genetically distinct Denisovans to different modern human groups. And then they've also been reported, these segments, to differ in their length, suggesting that different populations received their Denisovan ancestry at different times. And so the evidence points then to multiple mixtures at different times involving genetically distinct Denisovans, potentially giving us a way to trace the movement of humans as they interacted with these Denisovans. However, we only have this one, had this one Denisova 3 genome, and that has limited our ability to characterize the diversity in people living today. And so we're very fortunate that our collaborators at Denisova, Anatoly Derevyenko, Michael Shunkov, and Maxim Koslikin, have continued to excavate at Denisova over many years, over more than two decades by now. And during the excavation of a very deep layer of the south chamber of Denisova Cave, they found this molar, which I'm going to call from now on Denisova 25. And we've been able to reconstruct a second high-quality Denisovan genome from this molar. We have just under 25-fold coverage of the genome. You can see it has an X and a Y chromosome, so it's a male individual. And the first notable thing about this is that both the archaeological context and the analysis of the genome indicate that this individual, a male Denisovan, lived around 200,000 years ago. That's around 140,000 years older than the previous Denisovan we had, making it the oldest hominin for which we have a high-quality genome. With the second genome, we can now look again at the introgressed Denisovan DNA in modern humans and ask about its origin. And what's quite cool is that simply having a second genome tells us more about the diversity of the Denisovans. And with the second genome, we can then actually recover better the Denisovan, we can identify better the Denisovan DNA in people living today. So on average, you see here actually just maybe an important point in this figure is that everyone other than people in Oceania actually have rather little Denisovan DNA. But when we use the two genomes together, we can identify about 1.8-fold more of the Denisovan ancestry in these genomes than we could with a single genome alone. And so, of course, we revisited this question, comparing the Denisovan segments in thousands of people living today in different parts of the world to the two Denisovan genomes, asking if either of them is closer to the introgressing Denisovans in these populations. And consistent with previous findings, we identified two Denisovan ancestry components. You see them here in orange and red in present-day populations. And we saw that both of them are more closely related to Denisova 3 than they are to Denisova 25. So they're both more closely related to the younger Denisovan than to the older one. Perhaps that makes sense given the age difference. The Denisovan component you see in orange is quite broadly spread. It's in all populations, including in Oceania. And it's less similar to the Denisova 3 genome than the red component is. The red component, which you see here, is closely related to the Denisova 3 genome. And it's found in populations in East Asia, Central Asia, Siberia, Native Americans, and also in some Europeans, suggesting that they got this component after their separation from the ancestors with Oceanians, or at least that the Oceanian populations did not participate in the mixture with these Denisova 3-like Denisovans. We also investigated, which was possible to do for the first time with the two genomes, whether there's evidence for a very deeply divergent Denisovan lineage that had been reported in some studies. And with the two genomes, what we're able to do is we know they share a common ancestor around 225,000 years ago. And so we can ask if there are fragments in people living today that are more distant from them than they are from one another. And in doing that, we found that there are indeed two populations in which there's good evidence for deeply diverged Denisovan ancestry. And those two populations are the Oceanians and also the South Asians. And we don't see this other component, this third component, in any other population that we've looked in so far. And so the question is, how do the South Asians and Oceanians inherit this Denisovan ancestry? Do they inherit it together? So did they have a common ancestor into which the gene flow happened? Or do they inherit it separately? And so what we did to look at this is we compared breakpoints of these Denisovan-like segments among non-Africans, assuming that the segments that are inherited from a common admixture should share breakpoints. And what you see here is a plot of that. So you have in the columns the population in which we identify the segment, and in the rows, the population we compare to, and we literally count how often do you share segments with other populations. And what you can see here quite strikingly is, although everyone else shares some level of segments, these orange and red fragments, the Oceanians share almost no segments with any other population. And what does that mean? That means that Oceanians inherited their Denisovan ancestry separately from everyone else, suggesting that they met Denisovans at a different time to everyone else. So maybe I try and put a model together here. So to recap and speculate a bit about what I've just told you, our findings suggest that following mixture with Neanderthals, and everyone outside of Africa participates, as far as we can see from the genetic data, in this mixture with Neanderthals. Following the mixture with Neanderthals, the ancestors of Oceanians split from other modern humans and moved through Asia and Oceania. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying anything about the order of splitting of populations. It may be, we don't know what the structure of this sort of source population was. We just know that the Oceanians seem to move away first from whatever that population is, and they move out into Asia and Oceania. It seems plausible, given the distribution of this yellow component, the deeply diverged ancestry, that those Denisovans that they met were in South Asia. And I say that because it's the most likely route into Oceania, and also that South Asians carry this component also. Somewhere along the way, they also met and mixed with these orange Denisovans, the ones that are marked in orange. You see here on the map, we've placed that mixture in Sunda. It's possible that it was in Southeast Asia, but it's also possible that it was further west, perhaps somewhere even before they reached South Asia. This is unclear. The deep Denisovan, I think one of the very interesting results is that the deep Denisovan ancestry in South Asians was inherited independently. So what we think happened is that there was a first movement of Oceanians through South Asia and into Oceania, followed then by South Asians who move later, and we can see actually that their segments of Denisovan DNA are shorter, indicating that they inherited their Denisovan DNA, this deeply diverged ancestry, later than the Oceanians. And then what happens in other Asian groups is a little less clear, and this is largely because there's been a lot of migration among Asian groups subsequently. But we think that other Asian groups likely followed a different route, and the reason that we think it was probably a different route is they don't carry this yellow ancestry. So if they'd moved through South Asia, we might expect that they would carry some yellow ancestry. They don't. So we propose that they may have moved further through a route that was further north. Another in support of that idea is that the Denisovan ancestry they carry, this red ancestry, is closely related to Denisovans that we find in Denisova Cave and Bashir Karst Cave. So overall, these results are consistent with a single out-of-Africa event into an out-of-Africa hub, followed by multiple migrations into Asia, with Oceanians descending from an early wave of modern humans that reached Oceania via a route through South Asia. To briefly finish, we also see that there are some populations that moved into Asia and didn't meet Denisovans. So in work done by Jiaqi Yang, he found that the early Jomon and hunter-gatherer population in Japan seem to carry little or no Denisovan ancestry, suggesting that they got through Asia separately from the other East Asians and didn't interact with Denisovans. They got this tiny bit of Denisovan ancestry probably later by mixture with other East Asian populations. So in summary, ancient DNA provides us with a really powerful tool for starting to tease apart how and when and where people moved out of Africa into the Near East and then beyond into the rest of the world. What would be really useful for us now would be genomes from these deeply diverged Denisovans. They would allow us to really identify that we're right, firstly, about this mixture, and when and where they were present. So I hope that that's the next thing that I'll be able to talk about in some years to come. Thank you very much to you for listening, and acknowledgements to all my colleagues who make working on these problems really fun.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.